Shall we?
We shall. Let's go, baby.
Help! I suck at dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining in for Help, I Suck at Dating. Still the title of the show. I'm Dean Ungler, joined in studio by Mark, Easton, and Erica. Today, it's going to be a bit of a Valentine's Day-centric episode.
Yay!
Because we all love Valentine's Day.
I actually do.
Yeah. Why?
Because it requires you to step up. Married couples, I'm part of a married couple.
Okay.
It tends to get complacent over the years. You don't schedule as many date nights as you should. Valentine's Day, you have to schedule something. So that's why I like it.
So,
and early in a relationship, you learn a lot about the guy depending on what he does.
Don't you think that it's kind of silly, though, that we need one day every year to be like, listen, guys, you got to get your shit together and set up a nice date for your girlfriend, your wife, whoever it is.
I get that, but I'm not as anti-Valentine's Day as some people are. Are you anti-Valentine's Day?
I'm anti-Valentine's Day for the fact of, I mean, I think that you should just be doing nice gestures occasionally. I understand, I've obviously been married 20 years, so I can understand it's nice to like have an event to be like, all right, we're going to go out and have a nice dinner and do all this. I just hate like the crowds. I hate like the cliche of it all. You know, going to dinner, waiting
an hour and a half. Prefixed menus. I hate prefixed menus.
I mean, they're great, but it's like you could do that any other day of the week for, you know, a fraction of the cost.
Well, I think this year it's on a Wednesday, so you'll either go out the weekend before or the weekend after, right?
No, you have to go out on Valentine's Day.
I don't think we will.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
So you're going to go out on like a Saturday night and be like, listen, Amy, this is your Valentine's Day date.
I'm not going to put it that way. We will decide together when, because Wednesday night, Brooklyn's got gymnastics, Allie's got track. There's just too much going on a Wednesday evening with work the next day. Just not going to happen.
We're in a similar problem because my wife works at a church and Wednesday, Valentine's Day, is Ash Wednesday.
Oh,
it's a big right. church day. So she's going to have the ashes on her forehead. She's going to have to work really late, but we're still going out.
So
because Black Panther opens the next weekend. I'm booked. I'm spoken for.
And Erica, what about you?
I have huge Valentine's Day plans. I do. It's dinner and drinks with my single girlfriends.
Valentine's.
Yeah, which is cool, and I'm fine with that, but I'm not a big like Valentine's person in general. Like, never, even in relationships, done a big Valentine's Day.
How come there's no like Malentine's Day?
I call it Palentine's
Day. Palentine's.
Pals and I go out.
That kind of sounds like we're Palestinians or something.
Israel and Palentine.
I don't know. I think it's great that you guys are going out on different nights then, except for Easton. Easton's going out on Ash Wednesday, which
that's right.
Maybe even more interesting.
So maybe it might be the kids that prevent the weekday.
Why don't they have Valentine's Day dates?
My kids?
Yeah.
Allie's 11 and Brooklyn's 8, and they're just kind of.
They're on the
Allie's noticing boys. She has a crush
on
a couple.
Good luck.
Do
you remember the first, one of the first callers we had was Zoe, my middle school girlfriend, my very first girlfriend. Do you remember the reason that she broke up with me?
No.
It was because I didn't plan a Valentine's Day date when we were 10 years old.
Wow.
Or 11 years old. So I'm just saying, this is the age where that stuff starts to like.
Well, I have a story about Allie. She, a seventh grade boy approached her.
Is she in seventh grade?
She's in sixth grade.
Okay.
There was a dance, and they have the sixth grade dance separate from the seventh and eighth grade dance. I'm guessing there's a lot more, you know, booty shaking at the seventh and eighth grade dance, so the sixth graders have their own thing.
Right.
So he went up to her and said, are you going to the dance? She looked at him like, why are you talking to me? And she said, yeah. And he said, oh, are you in sixth grade? Yeah. Oh, okay. I was going to ask you to come to our dance. And then he said to her, maybe we could hang out sometime.
Oh, my God.
And Allie yelled, no, thank you, and ran.
Why?
Literally ran.
What?
She's not there yet. She's not ready for that conversation.
And she's in sixth grade.
Yeah.
And he was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
I was very proud of her for that.
Oh, my God.
Like, get away from those boys. I like it.
I don't even know how to respond.
Your 11-year-old is getting like more date requests than most 24-year-olds I know, including myself. Like, oh my God, this is so good.
Wait, so they have a Valentine's Day dance?
No, this wasn't Valentine's Day. This was for something else. This is just an independent. They do them throughout the year.
Gotcha.
In the afternoons, they have early day. They get out at like 1:30, and then they have dances until the regular time school would be out.
Oh.
And she shows me videos. She takes videos on her phone. It's a rager. Like, there's lights and there's all kind of loud music, and she's having a blast.
They put like black paper over the window, so it's like nighttime. We had this in my middle school.
Oh, but it is nighttime. At least ours were nighttime.
Oh no, ours were at like 3 p.m.
Oh,
yep, hers too.
Oh,
it gets too racy at nighttime these days.
Well, so what do you guys typically like to do for Valentine's Day then?
You know, for us, it's really we made a rule a few years ago: no more cards for any occasion. No more cards.
Interesting. Why?
They are a waste of money. And you look at them, oh, that's nice, and you throw it in the garbage. And now they're like $7-8 cards.
And you feel bad throwing them in the garbage too.
Yeah. So no more cards. We're not doing that anymore. So there's no real expectation. Her birthday was a few weeks ago. Great. We don't do gifts really. We just kind of spend some time together. And that's it. It's pretty low key at this point.
Do you think that's a practice that we could all take in early on, or is that something that you kind of get to after?
We evolved to this because there was pressure early on.
Yeah.
And I'll still surprise her with flowers and stuff. A couple years ago, she teaches group exercise on Saturday mornings. So I dressed the girls up in little red dresses, and they each had a bouquet of flowers, and they walked into her group exercise class right before it started. And gave really nice. That was pretty good.
That's cute.
I got a lot of points for that one. Huh. That was nice. So I still try to do a nice surprise every so often, but generally speaking, it's pretty quiet these years.
Until the next big surprise.
Yeah, until I come up with something else. Well, take us through. You were looking through your Instagram. So where were you Valentine's Day 2017?
I wanted to go through my, I guess, chronicled pictures through the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
February 2017 was like the month before I left for Bachelorette filming. So I literally just sat at home.
So you were not allowed to be pursuing anyone.
Not even that. I don't even think I was in the process at that point.
Oh,
but okay. I was like so more single than ever. So I like literally ordered Indian food with my roommates and like we watched movies or something.
Ouch.
Palantine's.
But not romantic movies, I assume.
Oh, we watched like, I don't know, like X-Men or something like that. Right. And then the year before that, I think I was dating someone. I can't remember exactly what we did though. I was looking back because that was right around the Super Bowl time. And I remember watching the Super Bowl with the girl that I was dating. So I was like, I'm sure we had to have done something, but I can't obviously recall exactly what it was. It was probably just like a dinner date and something like that.
But you were in a relationship 2 years ago on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and I'm sure we went to dinner, and the fact that I am unable to remember exactly what we did.
It's not a good sign.
It's just a sign that I think dinners are too cliche for Valentine's Day dates.
Do we know about this woman?
We haven't spoken much of her. We haven't talked to her.
How long were you together?
About a year.
And why did it end?
It was like a mess from the start, and then we like kind of evened out in the middle, and like things were going well, and then near the end, it just kind of.
What does that mean, a mess from the start?
She worked at a company that I worked at formerly before moving here, and so we had like some mutual friends, and she and one of my other good friends had something before her and I got together.
Oh.
So yeah, so it was like kind of one of those things where we have these callers calling, and they're like, "I like this girl, but my friend used to date her," kind of thing. It was kind of one of those situations, so it was kind of like a rocky start.
How friendly were you with that guy?
Best friend.
Oh.
Yeah. And I made the horrible, horrible mistake of pursuing her without telling him and asking for permission. Not permission, obviously, but like, you know.
Not giving the courtesy heads up. Like, dude.
Right. And in hindsight, I severely regret it. We lived together. We're best friends. I moved out here from Colorado.
You were living together at the time?
With him.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly how it unfolded with like everything kind of like coming to the surface.
Yeah.
But he was like, honestly, like it was like a very short fling that they had. They weren't like in a serious relationship or anything like that. But he's like, honestly, if you just like, came to me and told me or like asked me or whatever, everything would have been perfectly fine. And it was perfectly fine. It was just like a little bit of like.
They weren't together at the time, but they had been together.
Oh,
recently.
No. They weren't together at the time. They had hooked up maybe like a few months prior.
Hooked up. It wasn't much of a relationship.
They were never like, they were never boyfriend, girlfriend, anything okay. like that. But they had a history together.
It's interesting because we were just talking about this in the Scrubbing In podcast this week with Becca and Tanya, mm-hmm. available for download now, about how Tanya is able to kind of, if she knows a guy has done anything with any of her friends, he is like switched off in her mind. Like she wouldn't even consider him as a possibility. That is just off limits, friend, brother, whatever. He goes in that category. Maybe guys don't have that switch.
Well, I think Tanya has a fault there because I think you have to be open to like some people. Like if it was a fling, you should have told him.
Yeah.
For sure. But I also think like that could have been okay.
Yes.
It might be weird at first, but what if that's your person?
And in these situations, people always say that like the heart wants what it wants. It's like, what if that's my person?
Well, that's
just
one
like
of
Selena.
Just like Selena.
That's one of those things too, where she was like in our friend group and like we would hang out, you know, a couple weekends a month, like all together. And I always like a certain level of like admiration for her. Like I always thought she was a great person and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, I wasn't going to make any moves at the time. But and there was like this one night where we like made out or something like that. And they were like, all right, well, let's like hang out a few more times and see what it leads to. So it's kind of one of those things where like we didn't really know how to define it. And then because we didn't really know what we were, I didn't want to like go to my friend and be like, hey, I don't know what's going on. And then obviously in hindsight, it's like easier to say I should have done it, but I didn't know like how to define our relationship. So I didn't really know what to go to him with what information, you know?
Yeah. But you could just tell him, hey, I'm interested in so-and-so. Would you mind if I pursue this?
Absolutely. And I wish I did. And I mean, I mean, obviously like there was no love lost between me, my friend, or the girl that I kind of continued to date, but it just it made it for a very rocky couple of days, I guess.
Is part of that early days there, is part of it the excitement of sneaking around? Because that does add an element of excitement to the relationship.
I don't know if we were necessarily, we weren't like hiding it intentionally or anything like that, but it's funny now because like even, I don't know like how long we want to talk about this topic for, but in our friend group, this girl who dated one of my good friends for like a year or two, so they like lived together, they're like a very serious relationship, she's now dating another one of our good friends in the group, and I think that her ex doesn't know about their current relationship.
Oh.
Even though everyone else in the friend group does, but it's like I feel like it's not necessarily like anyone else's place to like go to the guy and be like, hey, listen, this girl is dating this other guy.
Isn't
friend
that
group.
Bro code that you let him know what's going on, or is it you're loyal to the other bro?
I mean, he's fully moved on from the relationship, but it's still like it stings a little bit to like see that.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's not necessarily, I think a lot of us think that's not necessarily our place to stir that drama. And like if and when they're ready to talk about it, then they'll talk about it.
2 years later, it's been almost exactly 2 years. You were with her 2 years ago.
Oh yeah.
Where do you stand with her? Is there any friendship, anything there?
There is a friendship. We like tried to have a good friendship, or at least I made an effort to like, hey, I want to be friends with you. I mean, obviously we like dated because I thought you were a great person. But I think that it's becoming increasingly harder to like keep a friendship with like a former girlfriend. Or boyfriend, you know?
Yes.
So we don't really have much of a friendship anymore, which kind of stings a little bit, but I think she's doing really well. So.
And what about the guy?
The guy.
The guy that she hooked up with that you were best friends and roommates
still,
with.
Still best friends.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys survived that.
Of course.
He was a little ticked off at first, but not too bad.
He was like, he had like moved on and had started dating someone. So it's not like they, like he wasn't like, I don't know. We were still best friends.
Everything's fine there.
Everything's fine.
Still to this day.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
I got the thread up box that you gave us last week.
How was it?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
My wife and my daughter really appreciate it because the denim jacket fit my daughter better than it fit my wife. And so there she goes. She's got a new denim jacket.
Perfect. And for these Valentine's dates she's about to go on.
Yeah. It's well, you're getting ahead of yourself now. but they're great. They don't seem like, you know, I don't know what kind of a stigma people put on used clothing or thrift store clothing. It didn't seem like that at all. There was no feeling of this is pre-owned. It was a feeling of, wow, what a great denim jacket this is. And my daughter loves it. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And Easton's wife sent a cute little thank you note.
Oh. Yeah, she's very appreciative of the jacket. It looked brand new.
Yeah.
I mean, like this had the tags on it still. She got a Theory denim jacket and I don't know if that's a nice brand or not, but it was very exciting for her to get. Fits are great.
Oh, Theory,
like a glove.
Theory is really nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I see a girl wearing a Theory jacket, I don't know. I like it. I like the way it looks. For those guys that are listening and for those girls that are looking to treat themselves for whether it's Valentine's Day, whatever it is, I mean, you heard Easton and Mark talk about how much their wives loved it. And in Mark's case, I guess his wife and his daughter. Be sure to check out ThreadUp.com. It's the world's largest online thrift store with brands you'll love. From up to 90% off retail price. Like I said, Easton's wife got hers, and she said it was brand new with the tag still on it. That's pretty common with ThreadUp. You'll get a lot of designer clothes, basically, you know, never worn if they've been worn only once or twice. In Mark's case, I got him two items for his wife. One of them didn't fit her quite as well. Fortunate in his situation, she was able to just pass it down to the daughter.
Right.
But in an event where you get something that doesn't fit, you do have free returns. They make it super easy, super convenient for you to do. So say you get something that's a little bit too smaller than you expected it to be. Feel free to send it right back and they'll make it as easy as possible for you. So be sure to show your wallet who's boss and don't wait another minute. So go to threadup.com/Dean for an extra 30% off your very first order. And I know I said this at the top of this, but you guys need to remember that you're getting 90% off or up to 90% off retail price through threadup.com. You're going basically on to these online thrift stores. You're going to be getting great deals, getting great brands. And on top of all that, you can get 30% off. So go to threadup.com/Dean for an extra 30% off today And be sure to make, whether it's Valentine's Day or Galentine's Day, as fashionable as possible.
Before we get Jeannie on the phone, Jeannie is from eHarmony. Okay. Answer some dating questions. I have an idea for the name of this podcast.
Yeah.
And I really thought about this, and I really like it because it's very succinct. It says everything you need to say, in my opinion.
I'm excited.
Are you ready for this?
I'm very excited.
Because I haven't liked a lot of the suggestions we've gotten. It's very simple. The new podcast name would be Dating Dean Unglert.
Dating Dean Unglert.
Dating Dean Unglert.
Like being John Malkovich?
Kind of. But he doesn't like it, and I can tell. But let me tell you why. Because it's about dating.
Yeah.
It's you dating, whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship. It works either way. It's simple. It's three words. It encompasses what we're talking about. And you're going to, you know, this is the part that'll make you a little bit uncomfortable. But I think of you as a very eligible bachelor to the people listening. They probably think you're an attractive young man, and they might want to be Dating Dean Unglert, and that's why it's an appealing title as well.
Let me ask you this. let's flip it around real quick.
Yeah.
Say Amy comes to you one day and says, here, Mark, I have this idea for myself. I want to come out with a TV show. Just bear with me. It's going to be Dating Amy. I'm going to talk about my life, all the dating ins and outs that I go through on a daily basis, weekly basis, et cetera, et cetera. How do you feel about that?
So you're worried about how this would come off to potential partners of yours, or even hypothetically, if you were in a relationship now.
Yes.
That's you my think worry. It's weird.
Yes.
All right.
What do you think? Well, how would you feel about Amy doing that?
I mean, we're married. It's a different situation.
So?
I don't know. Do you want to bounce it off somebody in your life and see if they like it?
Yeah.
No, I will.
Right. I will.
You don't like
it.
You don't like it. It's okay.
I will. I'll bounce it off.
All right. I don't know.
I appreciate the fact that we are brainstorming new ideas. What about help dating can suck?
See, all of that is too negative. I don't like suck in there. It's too negative. It's too, I don't know. It's too cynical.
Mm. Yeah, I guess because we had one listener email say that, and so now we're kind of stuck on that.
Yeah, but also I like it. I like it short too. I don't like "help I suck at dating" is too many words.
What's another? Okay, well, let's jump over to Jeannie. So Jeannie is from eHarmony. We've talked quite a bit about online dating, all those types of apps that people use, but we haven't really talked much about eHarmony or those types of I guess avenues of meeting new people. So Jeannie, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for calling in.
Chief of Advice.
Of course.
That's the title? Chief of
Chief
Advice?
Chief of Advice and VP of Content at eHarmony. That's impressive.
I don't know how this happened, you guys.
Awesome. Well, so Jeannie, tell us a little bit more about that then. Chief of Advice, probably you're the only person in the entire world with that title. What does that mean exactly?
I think VP of Content might be the deal. So I manage the eHarmony Advice site, which is a content site, which is full of articles and blogs by different experts. So that's where that comes from. I also work in the marketing department, and I've been here for 9 years. I've kind of been there, done that, seen it all. It's always interesting.
Awesome. Well, so tell us a little bit more about eHarmony. I mean, obviously we know mostly what it is, but a lot more people at least I don't necessarily want to say this, but I feel like more people my age are more familiar with like the dating apps, like a Bumble,
swiping.
A Tinder, yeah, the swiping, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, of course. You know, I always say that everybody will go onto those sites, and then they don't find a great match, they come to eHarmony. So we have apps as well, but we aren't swiping. So what you do when you go to eHarmony is you're going to answer a bunch of questions. I think we've got about 100 questions in our relationship questionnaire. So why we do that is we're getting to know who you are on a deep level, what your values are, who you are as a person. And then after you go through that process, we start delivering matches to you, people who we feel like you'd be really compatible with. So that's really the primary difference, is that we match based on compatibility and research that we've done for, 17 years here on what makes a happy couple.
And, I mean, you guys have been around, you said, for 17 years, which means you're obviously mm-hmm. doing something right.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's something to this. I have to say, like, when I meet a lot of the couples, like the success couples, when we do our commercials and whatnot. And they always seem to be very compatible and happy. And like, it's so easy with each other, and we just get each other. So it makes me go, wow, we are doing something right.
I mean,
it's pretty cool.
I'm sure that makes all of it worth it too.
That's why I'm here, honestly. I used to work in entertainment, and it was just very vapid and, superficial. And here it's right. like, I'm actually doing something that, you know, is positive. So I love that.
I think that a lot of people, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, at any moment when I'm talking, because I'm wrong a lot. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people that use, actually, we just had Erica in studio and she made this comment, and I think it really struck a chord. She said a lot of people that use dating apps are more looking to, I don't know, hook up and maybe date. And then the people that are going to jump on something like an eHarmony are more ready for marriage, that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's false. I mean, I think it's like, you know, it is about what you're looking for. If you just want to have a date Thursday night and just have fun and aren't looking for anything serious, then that's fine. They serve their purpose. Absolutely. If you want, you know, a happy relationship or maybe something just more substantial and meaningful, then we are the place for that.
Right. And that's a great way to put it, too, because I feel like if you're looking to fill a Thursday night or Friday night on your calendar, you're not really, eHarmony is maybe not the spot for you because it's kind of more for like lifelong relationships, that type of stuff.
Yeah. I think most people are really intentional and they take all this time to take the relationship questionnaire. And so they're there for a reason, which is to find, you know, a good partner for them and a good fit.
Can I ask you what the average age is of like a user?
eHarmony user?
Yeah.
Number one demo is 25 to 34.
Oh, nice.
And 35 to 50 is like the second most popular group.
Very nice.
So they just, you know, skew fairly young still.
And I think
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think a lot of the mindsets kind of apply to both dating apps and eHarmony, and maybe there's like a healthy blend of the two because I mean, just dating in general is a difficult thing nowadays, especially. Mm-hmm. So maybe once you do it more intentionally, like you're talking about with eHarmony, and once you kind of sit down, figure out exactly who you are and what you want, it kind of makes it a lot easier moving forward.
I think it's super important to know that, you know, especially if you want a relationship, like, what am I looking for? And ask yourself, what do I have to offer? Like, what do I bring to the table? Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, what does this person have? But I think it's good to look at yourself too. What do you have to bring to the table?
So with it being February, what do you guys have planned for Valentine's Day from like the eHarmony side of things?
Well, we are releasing a study this Thursday, and it's called the Happiness Index. What we did is we wanted to take sort of the temperature, the pulse of relationships in America and find out how happy are couples? How are they doing? What are they fighting about? What are the happiest couples? What makes them so happy? And the same with the unhappy couple. So it's really interesting. That's coming out Thursday. And lots of interesting findings.
Does this Happiness Index embody just eHarmony users, or is it every couple that you guys kind of
No, yeah, we surveyed Harris did a survey for us, Harris Interactive, and it's anybody in a long-term relationship, married, or just, you know, anyone. They don't have to be married.
And what do you guys hope to do with that type of information?
We are putting a press release out on Thursday, and we're doing a bunch of interviews. So there's just a bunch of cool findings from the study. So the CEO of the company is in New York this week talking about it. I'm talking about it to people like you. And so we're just sharing the information.
I love it.
So how does it work on eHarmony? So you said that you fill out the questionnaire and you send matches. And what happens at that point? Can either person reach out?
Yes. Yeah. So we aren't like Bumble. You have to wait for the woman.
So either. And then they chat within the app or on the site?
Yeah. So we have like a Slack style communication where you can reach out. Men or women can reach out. I'm always encouraging the women to reach out more because the guys love that, right?
I think so.
Yeah. It's like, you know, step up, ladies. Come on, reach out. And actually our success couple, 66%, I think the women did initiate communication. So see, it works. But so when you're matched with someone, either you can send a smile or just start communication. You can also send
a gift,
selected
maybe.
Questions. Yeah, exactly.
But Erica sends gifts. Yes. She sends the sub seal.
The sub seal, yeah.
What do you send?
It's a little seal snuggling in the snow, and it says sup. It sounds so much worse when I say it out loud.
It kind of raises flipper, and it goes sup.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
I think that's cute. I think that's very cute.
Erica, what did you want to ask?
Okay, so the whole issue, and it's a lot of people my age, like the getting from the conversation online to actually getting to a date in person. How do you make that happen?
I think sometimes you have to be direct. I mean, I've even experienced it myself where it's like, hey, what's up? And a few days later, hey, what's up? It's like, you know, if the other party is not making it happen, then I think, you know, I love chatting with you, but I would love to actually, you know, meet you in person and have a drink. You have to sort of take it there sooner than later, or a lot of times you're going to kind of run out of steam and one person's going to lose interest. So I think after a few text conversations, it's either important to move to the phone or try to meet in person.
Sometimes you got to do it. That's kind of my thing with it when I was using these types of platforms to meet people was I almost kind of wanted to string it out as long as I possibly could because it was like it's kind of like a vetting process. It was like if I'm able to have a nonsensical conversation with this person for a week, then I'm more excited to meet up with them because then I know that we're going to be having a much more free-flowing conversation instead of five messages down, them asking to get drinks just because of the way that I look or the way that they look, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess there's definitely a happy balance, I think, in the middle somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like, yeah, exactly. Having a conversation or sort of vetting the person and getting to them a little bit via, you know, whether it's text or whatever you want to do. Absolutely. But I think moving it to the next level sooner than later is great. I know people who've chatted online for 4 months. And they don't meet.
That's interesting.
And they think they're in a relationship. And I'm like, you're not in a relationship unless you've actually met the person, you know?
Oh, for months. This is kind of off topic. And maybe let's talk about it right now. Just it'll take 5 seconds. So I was in college. When I went to college, I took a spring term class. It was like a week long class. You go to class every day for like 6 hours a day. But it was a full three credit loads. I remember I met this girl in class. We were sitting next to each other. She's like, yeah, I got to go meet my husband later. I was like, oh, that's so great. Like, how did you meet your husband? She's like, oh, I met him playing World of Warcraft. We played World of Warcraft together for 6 months, and then we finally decided that we want to meet in person, and we got married.
Oh my gosh,
that's amazing!
I know it's very off topic, but I'm sorry.
What a great shared interest that is. You already know they love video games.
Yeah,
exactly. It's important to have things in common, as we all know.
Right, which is obviously super important. All right, so besides, I guess, being more intentional with like trying to meet up with them, do you have any advice on kind of how to like plan that first date? Because we're talking about if a first date can fall on Valentine's Day, there seems to be like mixed reviews on that. But how do you go about navigating those waters?
First date on Valentine's Day, I think that, that can be tough if you haven't met the person because it kind of puts pressure on things. So if you're going to do that, I would just go somewhere really low key. I would not be going to like the prefix dinner, you know, on Valentine's Day with someone you don't know. So I would, you know, maybe like you have just coffee that morning or go get breakfast, right? That's a little more casual. I would keep it casual if you're going to have a first date on Valentine's Day.
I like that.
Does that work?
Yeah, I think I can agree with that.
And who doesn't like going to breakfast and having pancakes? I mean, come on.
That is kind of fun.
A breakfast date is fun.
That's interesting. Right? A breakfast first date is not something you hear about very often.
Yeah, but I think that's like the best way. Then you get to move on with your day. You can say you have plans after.
Or you don't.
Or you end up spending the day with them.
Right. Or you're like, I got to go to work now.
I kind of love that.
Yeah, that too. Work.
11 a.m. Just go to Jinkies, get some blueberry pancakes.
Exactly. Yeah. I love Jinkies.
That's kind of more brunch hour, but.
Yeah.
Well, but you're not going to have an 8 for a first date. I mean, it's got to be a brunch.
It's like a weaning process.
Exactly. I just think, like, too much pressure to, you know, how nervous would you be to, like, go to some fancy dinner? I just can't even imagine that. So I would steer away from that for sure.
Jeannie, can you talk a little bit about how, I guess, eHarmony's changed over the years? You said you've been there for 9 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've said I'm sure you've probably seen it change quite a bit over the past decade. What are kind of like some noticeable changes you've seen?
In some ways it's changed. In some ways it's still the same. Like our mission is the same, which is to put two people together who would be a great fit. So we're still about compatibility, but we have changed our product a lot. So, you know, you have to do it. You have to change and progress with the times. Like, you know, we can't have the old school email a question and email back. So we have more of a Slack style communication now. We also, last year, you know, we always kept compatibility, like why you're a good fit for someone behind the fold. And we have a new CEO started a little over a year ago. He said, I want everybody to know why you're a good match with this person. So we now show you all the ways you're compatible, whether it's like, you know, adaptability or energy level or passions or whatever. So now you can actually see, it's a cool chart that shows you how compatible you are. So there's, you know, changes like that have gone on.
Right.
And, you know, like better upload of photos, just, you know, keeping up with the current, what's going on out there currently. But we really are, in some ways, stayed the same with our mission. That will never change. It's just, we really believe, you know, we believe that, you know, who you decide to spend your life with, it's a huge decision. One of the biggest decisions you're ever going to make. We want to help you find someone that's a great fit for you.
I was saying the other day, actually, we were out for my wife's birthday and I made it a toast. And I said that the key to a happy life is to marry the right person.
And it's
everything
so
falls into place if you can figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Either going to have like a super happy life or it can, you know, make you miserable too. If you pick the wrong person,
that's it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
I'm going to express that to my daughters as they get older. That you just got, as long as you find the right person, everything's going to be great.
But what makes them the right person?
Well, if you look at our research, it's somebody who you're compatible with. So, meaning someone that you're similar to in important ways. Like, it's better to be with someone that's more like you than dislike you. So let's say you're a really adaptable, easygoing person. Is it going to be easier for you to be someone similar or someone who's really rigid? It's going to be hard if they're really rigid. So it's just, it's similarities in the important,
Well, but like you say, it's the rigidity that would cause the problems. Even if you're not similar,
exactly.
If you're not rigid about it, like right. I don't think my wife and I are that similar, to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
But neither one of us are terribly rigid. We both respect each other's, feelings, beliefs, whatever it is. And so we've kind of just merged together into this marriage that seems to be going well 15 years in. And that's the key. But but to Dean's
compromise.
Question, how do you know? Compromise, yes. How do you know? It's such a cliche, but you just know. Like, I just knew, and I don't know how to express that. And people like Erica just rolled her eyes at me. And I get that.
Oh, it's sweet. It's so sweet. And I hope someday
You will know someday.
Don't you guys share values, though? You do share, certain...
Yeah, we've never really had a lot of disagreements when it comes to raising the kids. So that's important.
So there you go. So you guys are similar in that respect.
I guess so,
it's good. That's cool. That's awesome.
I did want to get this email in just because it's something that we've kind of hit on, actually. But I think that you could weigh in on this. It's from Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
She says, since you were talking about dating apps and messaging on dating apps, I was wondering, do you think it's okay to ask a guy out first? I've been messaging this guy for a while, and we now have moved into texting, which, that's a big move in itself, they say, to get from the app to your text. We've talked for a while, but he has yet to ask me out. Should I ask him if he wants to get drinks? Love you all, Sarah.
Yes, Sarah. Do it.
I agree. Deaners?
Yes, take action.
Erica?
I'm kind of in the same situation. I'm waiting to see if I need to just ask someone out. So I'm down with your advice, Jeannie. I'm going to do it.
How long has it been?
3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
We've been talking for 3 weeks. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say that I usually would wait for the girl to ask me out. And I would say that in this instance, you should ask him out.
Okay.
Wait, is this Shorty McShort guy?
Oh, my God. Yes. He's not actually short, we don't think. Just to clarify.
No, it's a joke because she thought he was and that was scaring her away. But we've done our homework on him and we don't think he is. But we're still calling
But we're still talking 3 weeks
Shorty
later.
McShort
guy. The height
thing is a whole other subject.
Oh,
but it is really important for women.
Jeannie, what's on a eHarmony profile? Physical characteristics? Is there a picture, of course,
that,
height, weight, all that kind of stuff?
But there is a height area to fill out. So it's important enough that we put that there.
I'm just curious, what else is on there that makes besides the questionnaire and all that kind of stuff that allows you guys to fully understand who a person is, to ensure that you're matching them up with someone that's compatible, what else is there? Is there religious beliefs? Is there, I don't know, what type of girl they're into, that kind of stuff? I don't know.
Yeah. So there's a really detailed profile that you can fill out. So you can write what's most important to you, what you're passionate about, how people describe you, what you're looking for. Do you smoke? Do you drink? That kind of stuff it's a pretty in-depth profile. And then you can upload as many photos as you want. So I always encourage people to upload more than less.
Yeah.
'Cause, one picture and an incomplete profile basically means no activity.
Yeah.
So it's you got to put some energy into it to get something out of it, obviously.
You can put as many as you want on there?
I think it's 10 to 12.
Wow.
I'm not sure, but yeah, you can upload a lot of photos, which is nice. I mean, you want to, if you're going to reach out to someone, don't you want to have some information about them before?
What do you suggest for those photos? And there's one main photo you see first?
Yeah, there's one main photo. Yeah.
That's the key, right? That first photo, the profile picture.
Absolutely, yeah. And a good quality picture is nice, not something blurry or, I've seen it all. I mean, don't wear sunglasses in every single photo. Don't have every photo be the same, but a different filter on it. I would warn against shirtless photos for the most part, So
I don't like group photos. I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, group photos, especially with a guy surrounded by five women. What message?
Well, yeah, true.
You know what I mean? But you see it all the time. So you'd think it would be intuitive, but it really isn't.
I think group photos are good. Not with five girls around you. I think that's tacky.
Yeah, I think you have to have some group.
But I think it's good to have couple solo pictures so they know what you look like. But then it's also good to show that you have friends.
But also, they'll
comparison.
But they'll also compare you to the others, and they might want one of your friends think is more attractive.
Yeah, I know, right?
Not familiar with that situation.
I don't know if people do that. Do people do that?
Guys do that. Yes. Guys are like, oh, she's nice, but I like second from the left a little better.
So maybe I can go get drinks with this girl and then be introduced to her friend through.
No, you don't want that.
I think full body shots are good, too. Just you out walking or hiking or whatever are good, too. Somebody can actually see what you
Can I
really
see your profile
like.
Picture, Erica?
You want to see my profile
Yes.
picture?
I'll describe it to Jeannie, and she can tell us if you're doing a good job or not.
I'm pretty sure I have sunglasses on in it.
That's a mistake.
Ah! I know.
But Erica, do you have other photos?
I have tons. Well, yeah, I have like my full things.
Jeannie, question while she's pulling it up.
Yeah.
How do eHarmony employees meet their wives and husbands on eHarmony?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, you know, in the past, we didn't allow employees to use the service because we were afraid that, you know, in certain departments you could, you know, get in
overlap
and, like, tinker on the back end. But now we do. You have the ability, and I've heard of several people meeting their significant other on eHarmony. So, yeah,
nice.
It does happen.
I was just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's critique Erica's photos. So here's the main one.
What's the main one?
The main one is her. It looks like she's at a music festival. I would guess this is Stagecoach.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and she's in a, how do you describe that outfit? Is that a jumper?
That is a sleeveless romper,
shorts, okay. Oh. Is that a That's romper automatic? Okay, I'm sorry. Sunglasses, smiling, hair in a ponytail,
mm-hmm.
purse with fringe, and she's like on top of something because around her are other people, but they're all beneath her, like she's standing on a hay bale or
yes,
something.
100%.
Is that like a psychology thing? Or?
And I will say, I think this is great. I was gonna.
It kind of right. It shows who she is. She's having fun.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it sounds.
It's
fun.
A great Erica smile. It expresses her personality. I mean, I know her, so I don't know if I would know that if I was going into this blind. But I know that this is Erica's personality to me, summed up perfectly in this photo. Now,
That's
photo
awesome.
Number two is with three other women.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she chose this right because she compares well to the other three women.
Okay. Good.
So that was smart on her part. She kind of, but you kind of glow in this photo where the other three don't. You pop in this one. The third one is her and another woman that I don't know, and that's a weird one for me. Who's that? Oh, that's Alex? Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I've never seen her with her hair back like that before. Anyway, so I don't know. That's kind of a weird one. Like, who's that? Is that your sister? Like, I don't know. That one brings up too many questions. Fourth one, she's at another with other friends, and they're hugging her, and that I kind of like that. She's likable. People like her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are sisters. Oh, that's good too. Okay, and then she's with another random woman. I don't know. See, I don't like the two shots with random. There's another with Alex.
Okay, but you don't take a lot of photos of yourself.
I guess
it is good. I will say
it'd be nice to see like maybe a photo of her by herself, maybe at least one.
So, Dean, there's the profile picture.
It's cute.
It's good, right?
Yes. It's
cute. I think it works for her.
Plus 1 point for not having a picture with any guys.
Yes.
I don't really have any photos with guys.
But Jeannie, question. On these eHarmony profiles, I imagine there would be a lot more just solo pics. I don't know why. I just imagine with eHarmony being the service that it is and like leading more to like lifelong partners, I think it's more like this is who I am as an individual instead of.
But like how many photos do you have of just yourself doing things you're actually doing in your life and not just selfies? I don't like selfies.
Ever since I've been encouraged to post an Instagram post a day, I've got a lot more pictures of myself, which is I don't
totally
like
agree. I totally agree that you should have a variety of different photos, not just you selfie in every bathroom in LA or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you would be shocked. I've talked about good photos like to death, and you'd be shocked at the pictures that still show up. It's just I don't know. I don't know if people are, you know, lazy or what. But I mean, it's really important.
it's a huge aspect
to your success. So. Yeah. Have some friends take a few shots of you out hiking or whatever.
But
you know?
Erica makes a good point. You don't get pictures of yourself that often.
Like,
that's
unless
true.
You're a certain type of girl who says, take
right.
a photo of me,
right,
take a photo
right,
of me, take
right,
a photo
right,
of me,
right.
and that's not my personality.
You almost have to stage your profile picture,
yeah.
which is
sure. Not... Yeah, no, I think that's not a bad idea. Like, if you're walking with your dog and you're with your girlfriend, like, you just take a few pictures of me walking the dog. And it's
okay.
cute, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'll start asking people to take photos of me. I'll steal someone's dog.
There you go. You can borrow mine.
Jeannie, you've been there 9 years and it's evolved. Where do you see dating 9 years from now?
Oh my gosh. Well, hopefully not like a Black Mirror episode.
Oh, how can it not be? Hang the DJ.
That one's good though. That was my favorite one of the entire season.
You like that one?
Yeah.
More than Callister?
Yes, my favorite by far. Not by far, but definitely my favorite.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we want people to always have free will, right? But I mean, I think that, you know, just technology will obviously play a bigger role. And I know we've got research scientists who are constantly working on, like right now they're trying to figure out, are there any other dimensions of compatibility we don't know about, and working with outside academics. And then I've heard talk of like facial recognition, and you can kind of tell who might be a good fit based on facial features. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if more technology will play a part in matching in the future.
And it's hard to really plan for that, because we really don't know where technology is going to be in 9 years.
True. Yeah, it's really hard. But I would just say more of a refinement, at least here, on just putting two people together who would be a good fit, and looking at your habits and who you tend to click on and who you're talking to, and then saying, okay, he likes this type of person, so we're going to deliver a lot more of that. Mm-hmm. So I think more in that area.
Nice. All right, Dean. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Guys,
everyone that's listening,
for having me.
Of course, be sure to tune in. I guess, well, not tune in, but you guys are releasing the Happiness Index on Thursday, you said, right?
Yes, it'll be everywhere, and you can go to our eHarmony advice site.
Okay.
And it'll be there too.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll be on the lookout for that. I'm excited to see that.
Cool, guys, thank you.
Yeah, of course, thank you so much for calling in and for all the advice. And
thanks, Jeannie.
Good luck, Erica.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.
Yeah, everybody should go watch the Hang the DJ episode of Black Mirror.
Why was it your favorite? So it was my favorite, I think, because the twist at the end, I didn't necessarily see coming.
Yeah, don't spoil anything, because Black Mirror is still pretty underground.
I've seen none of it.
Okay, so I think that's a good starting point for you, is Hang the DJ. So if you don't know Black Mirror, it's on Netflix, and it's an anthology show, meaning every episode is a specific story with different characters, different actors. They're all isolated, so you can watch them in any order. It doesn't matter. Each one's a little movie. And the only common thread in all of them is they have something to do with modern technology, and a lot of it is predicting future technology. And Hang the DJ is kind of the future of dating apps.
Yeah.
And so that's why that's a good one for listeners of this show and Erica to start with. And then you can pick and choose as you go, but start with that one, I think.
And that one I liked a lot too, because there was no like really horrible thing that happened. Like every other episode, like something bad, like horrible happened.
Certainly creepy. A lot of them are very creepy.
And
this one wasn't.
This one had like lows, of course, but there was nothing where you're like, I don't know. It wasn't like, I don't know. And it was just cute.
Some of those episodes are horrific, and this one was quite sweet, I thought, in comparison.
Have you guys heard about why it's called Black Mirror? Do you know this?
Well, the computer screen?
Yeah, it's like if you like hold your blank phone up and like look at yourself, except mine just like lights up when I do that.
Yeah, but I can see myself right now.
Isn't that weird?
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the other one that you said you liked a lot?
I loved USS Callister from this season.
What's Callister?
That's the Star Trek episode.
Oh, see, I didn't like that one very much.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think maybe I fell asleep 40 minutes into it. And so
I liked that one. I thought that was really strong.
I think just because they've overplayed like the computer programs becoming self-aware and like all that kind of stuff.
Let me give you, have you seen a lot of them?
I've seen every single one.
Oh, San Jacinto, which I assume is how you pronounce it. That's probably my favorite.
Remind me of that one again.
Okay, that one's the two women who fall in love, and they're in the beach community.
San Junipero.
San Junipero.
Oh, that's what it was. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of an actual community in Southern California,
San Jacinto.
San Junipero. Thank you, Easton.
That one's good, because I guess technically they are computer programs. Yeah.
Mark gave me a viewing order of Black Mirror. I hadn't seen really any of them, and then Mark found out I was interested, and he gave me this plan that I've been calling the Molnitsky Initiative. Is hopping from season to season, and it was a really, really effective way to get introduced to the show, I felt.
Did you start him out at the top and then kind of like...
I don't... What did I start you
with? Started me with Callister. USS Callister from the newest season.
That appeals to Easton.
Yes, he's a sci-fi guy, so that made sense for him. I think for Erica, Hang the DJ is the perfect starting point.
I have no plans later today.
And then San Junipero.
San Junipero you'd love.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And there's lots. I mean, we could go from there, but we'll leave it at that for now. Oh, the entire history of Us. Is that what it is, or You?
The history of You.
The entire history of You. That's another
season
good
one.
Okay, how long are these episodes?
About an hour.
What about the one with John Hamm? That one's good.
It's a lot.
White Christmas. That is a good one, yes. That's a long one.
Can we just change this podcast to Help, I Suck at Netflix? And then we'll just go around Netflixing suggestions.
Logging in with Dean Ungley.
There you go. What else do we want to talk about?
I want to talk about man crates.
Yeah.
And then I want to read some emails.
Let's talk about man crates. We talked a little bit about them last week. We're going to talk a little bit more about them right now. Because last time we talked about man crates, I didn't really have an opportunity to explore their website quite as much as I had to this time.
Oh, you have now?
I did.
That's great.
It's amazing, because I kind of thought that they were just like those wooden crates that you had to pry open with a crowbar. Because my roommate got one of those, like I said, from his girlfriend, and he absolutely loved it. So I was like, that's their thing. That's what they do. They just send you an unopenable crate that you have to like earn your man card to be able to open. You have like some cool things inside, like some tumblers or... that kind of stuff. But it's so much more than that.
Right. It's a cute little thing that they do, but that's not what man crates are all
so
about.
Much more than that. And yeah. so much more than just the crate. Like, they call themselves man crates, and I can see why. They have, I mean, they have essentially four categories from their website. It's wooden crates, ammo cans, jerky grams, and then project kits. And I was going through each of these. They're all awesome. And actually, my friend Naz just got a package from them yesterday that, like, a personalized guitar.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. So the wooden crates we talked about a little bit. The ammo cans are really cool. You can, like, you can personalize, like, glasses, all that kind of stuff. But the one that I really, really liked, the one that kind of spoke to me the most was the project kits. Because if you click on project kits, you'll go in there, and it's like a knife-making kit, a leather belt-making kit, homemade brood kit. What else? There was one that I really liked, too.
Folding this, knife, pipe carving.
The pipe carving was cool.
Great edge shaving.
I would never need or use a pipe, but I want to know how to make one.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do with this stuff once you make it?
Hot sauce making kit.
Yeah, Baconology.
Man.
Baconology. I know Mark loves that one.
That's a good one.
Anyways, it's just these cool things that you can send to someone, and instead of just having something to put in the cupboard or, like, on a bookshelf, it's like you're, like, kind of encouraging them to learn a new skill and, like, enjoy that learning of the new skill too.
Look, you're racking your brain right now trying to figure out what to get a guy for Valentine's Day. This is it. Mancrates.com.
And this is going to be a double whammy too. Say you're dating this guy and he wears horrible belts and you also want him to learn something new, get him the belt making kit. He's going to make himself a cool belt.
A better
belt. And he's going to wear it more often because he made it himself.
Part of a relationship is improving your guy. I mean, let's be honest. I'm such a better person with Amy. And I mean, like, fashion, everything. Fitness, diet, everything's better. This can play a role. You can steer your guy in the right direction with a man crate.
Right.
It's a great point, Dean.
If you go to mancrates.com/Dean, you'll get 5% off. And you might be saying to yourself, 5%, eh. But you're getting 5% off of these awesome crates, kits.
They're a good deal already.
And they're, like, they're fun. They're exciting to open. It's something that a person will... it's funny. We talked about early at the top of this podcast, remembering dates and how those cliche dates are kind of boring. This is anything but a cliche gift. And people are going to remember these gifts that you get them because they're just unique and they're awesome. So again, go to mancrates.com/Dean and you'll get 5% off. I don't offer that discount anywhere else but mancrates.com/Dean. So go check it out. I advise the project kits. I think the project kits are great. I think that any guy that you get that for would just be loving to have it.
Yeah, and if he's got a favorite basketball team, football team, they have these for everything. You can get the NFL barware crate with his favorite football team logo on bar glasses. I mean, it's
there's
great.
So many.
You know, we mentioned the breaking open the crate. They're really pushing the limits of product delivery because you can get a man crate gift card and that comes encased in a brick. You have to smash it open.
What?
They give you a pair of safety goggles too. So safety is safety first. But you crack open the brick, you get your gift card, and then you're on your way to Man Crate Heaven.
That's pretty funny.
Whoever made this is smart.
So smart.
Yeah.
So smart.
That's pretty funny.
Mancrates.com/Dean,
5% off.
Here's an email from Val, and I feel for Val. Val and I are kindred spirits, okay. Val and I. First, she says, I love the podcast. I listen to it every week while I am at work. I definitely agree with Dean, and the name needs to change. She has her own suggestion, Woo! Dean, with your strong opinions. How about dating do's and don'ts with Dean Unglert?
It's got the right amount of personification. I like it.
I like it.
Plus, it's alliterative.
Oh, that's what I meant to say, not personification.
Oh, it has alliterative. That too. It says your name in it. I'm emailing you all because I really do suck at dating. Well, we keep coming back to that, don't we? It's been 2 years since my last serious relationship, and I'm ready to meet someone new. The problem is, I haven't had the best luck with men. Like Mark, I've been ghosted 3 times in a row. Now, that is rare.
That's a good sign,
ghost
though.
Is rare. It is what? Oh, because my fourth was, yeah, you're right.
I think that's an incredibly good omen.
ghost, and then the next one to come along,
20-year marriage.
So that's a good sign, Val. But she says, one of the guys that I've been talking to even went out of his way to make a romantic night by blindfolding me and taking me to a special place for dinner. It was a great night. He even had my friends get together so I could spend time with all of them on my birthday. After being with him that weekend, he stopped talking to me.
I can't believe this.
A weird one.
Like... But guys do this.
But if you went to that, guys don't put that kind of effort into a birthday or to dates unless they're really interested.
Guys freak out.
Maybe he was interested and then he saw her in that environment and then just wasn't interested anymore.
Saw her with her friends?
Maybe she got really drunk. I don't know. How old is Val?
She doesn't say.
Okay.
I recently went on a date and it seemed like we have a very good connection. We have similar interests and he opened up to me about his personal life. All signs show he's interested, but I'm afraid that I'm going to ruin it and I'm scared he's going to run off like the rest of the guys. I don't know if I'm intimidating or if these guys are just very good at faking their feelings and can't be honest with me. How do I get off the ghosting streak? Val, First of all, it's not you, Val. Don't think that it's you.
These guys.
Yeah, it's not. Don't. She's blaming herself. She's saying, I don't want to mess this up. You didn't mess the other ones up. You didn't.
I still have advice for her, though. I think that she should, and I don't even maybe think that it's her that's encouraging these people to do these like grandiose things, but that birthday party thing was a big gesture.
Yeah.
This guy opening up a lot about his personal life. It, for a first date, it's a big gesture in a lot of like emotional ways, I guess. I think what she should do is slow things down because what the way that I perceive this is these guys are going all out, pulling out all these stops and making themselves vulnerable and then maybe not getting what they had hoped to get out of it. So then they're just like, all right, I'm bailing, like that kind of thing.
But what were they hoping to get out of it?
Well, like maybe they just didn't get the reaction that they were hoping to, that type of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Not like sexually.
No, I understand.
Yeah. So I would say that by like working up slowly and slowly building and like allowing a true foundation to form before like doing these great things, I just think that that would kind of limit the ghosting. Like think about this guy that threw the birthday party. He's like, all right, I invited 10 of her closest friends, blindfolded her, pulled out all the stops for all this. Where the hell do I go from here? I can't go anywhere from here. You know, like yeah. I can't improve upon that.
But what she didn't ask him.
No,
to
yeah,
do this.
You're right. And that's weird. I don't like, she must have a great first impression or something because.
She doesn't say how long she was with these guys before they bailed, but it's that birthday party to ghost is weird. But my only advice is it's not you. Don't worry about that, and don't get in your head about this. You just have to treat this relationship you're in now as its own thing. Don't worry about messing it up. Have a great time. Be real open with him. Don't play a lot of games. Erica's looking at me like she disagrees
and
completely.
No, I agree with you, but also they always come back around. They always come back around.
The ghosters?
These guys will reach out to her at some point. I don't know how long it's been.
But in a booty call way?
Or just in a like, oh, I messed up. And I hope that she does not get back with them at all. Like if you ghost someone, you're out. You're done.
I think that's
fair. Guys always come back around.
I agree with that piece of logic. If you get ghosted by someone, you should never consider taking them back.
They're just going to do it again.
Yeah.
Like a cheater.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of,
once a
yeah.
ghoster, always a ghoster. Yeah. Yeah.
Did we help her at all? I don't feel like we did. Do you have advice, Erica?
How do you get off the ghosting?
Yeah, how does she get off the ghosting?
I think, again, my advice to her is just to take things slowly.
I think Dina's good advice.
You can't predict a ghost.
But here's the thing. Even if you're taking things slowly and some guy decides to ghost you because he's a dick, you're not as invested in that relationship, so you don't care quite as much for getting ghosted.
Like they'll bail out a little earlier if you've spent more time getting there.
Exactly.
I guess.
Like this guy. Oh, yeah, exactly. This guy, again, that threw the birthday thing for her, like she became very invested in that because that's a cool thing. Like he invited all her friends, great time to spend on their birthday, all that kind of stuff. And that's like she became invested in that. And then so when the ghosting happened, she like obviously was a little broken up about it. And I think like once you have to like build a level of trust with someone, that takes time. You can't just do that overnight. Mm-hmm. Like you want to know that these people that you're dating aren't going to ghost you. And I don't know. That's my advice.
I think that's good advice. But you can't plan on a ghost. You can't.
What happens if she just like goes to the guy that she's dating now and be like, listen, if you ghost me, I'm coming
after
you.
I tried that. No.
I did.
The third one.
After ghost one and ghost two, the third ghost, I said, look, the last two, they just kind of vanished. If it's not happening for you, you can tell me. It's fine. I'll be okay.
Wasn't the third the worst ghost of all?
Yeah, because I just said that to her. Not just said that to her. It was, you know, a month after that or something. And then she just vanished. I was like, damn it.
Do you think if you didn't say it to her, she would have ghosted you sooner?
Maybe. I don't know.
I got a principle. She's like, I got to stick it out for another month and a half now.
Certainly possible. Eliza wants to talk to Dean, and she has a very specific reason why. I love the podcast. It's been fun and interesting getting to know you, Dean. A little background. I'm 40. I've been married 5.5 years. We have 2 kids. Before I got married, I had mixed feelings about it since my parents divorced. There's a lot of that around me growing up. I always knew I wanted to be a mother. I would have been okay having kids before marriage, but my husband's a Christian and felt very strongly about being married before starting a family. We got married and a year later had our first son. Now, like most married couples, we have our ups and downs. Some challenges for me, according to my husband, are my communication and not enough praise and thanks. I've heard you talk a few times about love languages, and my husband's is words of affirmation. Mine is touch. I've read the chapter several times, and I must be missing something because I can't seem to provide enough to meet his needs. So my question is, how can I improve in that area? What does words of affirmation mean to you? Because that's yours, right, Dean? That's your love language, words of affirmation?
That's my second.
Okay. So what does that mean to you, and how do you see it being played out in a relationship? I would love Mark and Easton's perspective as well, being married and all. Thanks, guys. Eliza. Oh, and then we'll get to her PS in a second, but that's a good question too. But let's talk about this at first. Words of affirmation.
Yeah, I think that With words of affirmation being my second one, physical touch is my first.
Okay.
I think my at least perspective on this is I like to go out of my way to do small things for the girl that I'm dating, whatever it is, and or just anyone in general, friends, family, and I don't do it for the sake of like feeling good for myself. I like to like obviously like make people happy for those types of gestures that you do, but it is really really nice when someone's like, thank you so much for this, for dinner, for taking us up to Tahoe for the weekend, for whatever it is, for taking us to Hawaii for the weekend. You know, it's like all it takes is like a very small like appreciation. And maybe that's not even what words of affirmation is, but it's like if she could go to him and be like, hey babe, thank you so much for cleaning the dishes after I cooked or something like that, you know, like that type of stuff. I think that typically goes unnoticed or at least unmentioned, can kind of like build up over time, and maybe like he would think that she's ungrateful, that type of stuff.
So I've had trouble with this words of affirmation concept too. So it's not so much, oh, you're the greatest. Oh, you're so handsome. Oh, you're so strong. It's not so much that as it is, thank you for what you do.
Yeah.
You hung your towel up after the shower. Thank you for doing that. Oh, you put your socks in the hamper. Thank you. Good. You know, that sort of thing.
Without patronizing, because that sounds kind of patronizing.
That did sound kind of patronizing. You're right. But it's more thanking you for the effort you put forth in the relationship.
Yes.
Is it also, I love you so much. You're the greatest thing. Oh, you're such a great boyfriend. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
Those
too.
Are good too.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm still wrapping my brain. I don't think words of affirmation are high on my list because I don't think I need that sort of thing.
I think that's because you're a confident person. So what I'm slowly realizing too, that's why words of affirmation is number two on my list, is because I'm insecure as all hell. And so what I kind of gain out of the words of affirmation is like it kind of tempers my insecurities a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Yeah.
I don't know her husband.
But where does the insecurity come from?
I don't know. Self-worth, that type of stuff.
Did this go back to your parents?
I don't know. It's honestly something I've never really dealt with before, but in like the last 6 months or so, I feel like my self-worth has kind of diminished a little bit. And so
that's interesting, because now you're coming off of being on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a coincidence, I don't think.
I don't think so either. But it's just, it goes a long way when the person that I'm dating reassures me or affirms me in a relationship or just in general, because I don't know. Having a self-deprecating podcast, Help I Suck at Dating. I need that affirmation in my life, and it goes a long way.
Interesting, because you come off to me as a confident guy.
Oh,
you're a handsome guy.
Sure,
you got a lot going on for you.
Thanks.
You're young.
Keep going. Don't stop.
These are my words of affirmation to you. It's interesting that you'd be insecure, but that's a lesson that everybody has insecurities, no matter how they appear from the outside, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the lesson there?
Yeah.
Erica.
Yeah.
Do you know your love languages?
I just pulled them up.
Oh.
Quality time and then words of affirmation, then goes down from there. But you know what I think is interesting is like, is the husband paying attention to her love language? Are they just not
That's
communicating?
That's a good question. Hers is physical touch.
Through each other's love languages, and therefore there's a slight disconnect. It kind of sounds like to me like he's being a little bit selfish and saying, we're having problems because you don't affirm me enough. And maybe that's just because I want to take the woman's side a little bit.
You should.
But it kind of sounds like he isn't compromising as well.
That's a very good point that it goes both ways.
She didn't really mention much about him doing anything for her physical touch needs.
Right.
Yeah.
Is she getting foot massages?
Didn't know where you were going to go there.
By the way, this is strange because I just pulled up my words of affirmation. I forgot about this because I took it a year ago.
Your love languages?
My love languages. What did I say?
Words of affirmation.
Oh, words of affirmation is my top one. So maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Although there is something to be said about that test, because the questions are very leading to the answers.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it's like, I think I'm physical touch. And so I was answering questions like, oh, physical touch, you know?
Right.
It's like, would you prefer to be snuggled or would you prefer to have someone buy you a present? Snuggle. I wonder which question leads to which answer, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but then there's like me who like, physical touch is my last one, and that is spot on. Like, I'm not a cuddly person. Mark hates because I won't hug
him. She doesn't hug ever, like under any circumstances.
I've hugged Erica.
I know. I hug Dean. Hello.
Oh,
okay.
So we see each other less frequently, I guess.
I see Dean maybe once a week. I see Mark so many hours of every day. Like, I spend a whole lot of time with you. So I'm just saying.
That's true. She has rules. Like, if you're going away for a 2-week vacation, you will get a hug. Other than that, forget it.
Weekend handshake.
Weekend's nothing. Weekend's nothing.
Wait, did we help Eliza?
I think so. I think the key is Erica's point that it's got to go both ways, and I hope he's giving you the touch you need as well as you as you're giving him the affirmation he needs. And I think you answered her question about what does that mean to you, and I think you answered it honestly.
To me, a word of affirmation is best applied when there's an act of service involved. So it's like, say he does something.
If he does I the were dishes.
Him, if I were him, I would really, really hope that that it doesn't go unnoticed, I guess is the thing, and it goes appreciated.
Sure.
And that would just really make everything better.
Let me read her PS because it is something we neglected to talk about. She says, I don't know if I missed it or what, but I hope it's okay to ask. How did Hawaii go with your siblings and your mom's ashes over Christmas and New Year's?
It went well.
We never really talked about that.
We kind of touched on it.
I don't remember it after the fact. I remember beforehand, but I don't remember after the fact.
Yeah, we went. There's me, my two brothers, and my sister. My father did not join us.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was kind of one of the things where words of affirmation was important to me. I didn't really get that. Like, I felt so it was like it was, I took the responsibility to plan the trip and get everyone out there, organize everything, logistics, finance everything, whatever it is.
Hold on. Are you the oldest?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest?
Yeah.
How many siblings?
Three. So it's me, I'm 26, my sister's 28, Ross is 31, Brad is 34.
So there's four siblings, and you had the ashes?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know if I necessarily, so I guess I can say this. So, for 3 months when I was in college, I was like a junior or senior. My brother, one of my older brothers, came under like hard times. He's always kind of been like financial hardship, all that kind of stuff. So I was like, yeah, please come like live with us. I'm more than happy to like take you under my roof and like allow you to kind of get back on your feet sort of thing. And he had the ashes at the time. And he like put them in the closet or something like that. And then, when he moved out, he like forgot to take them with him or something like that. And this was like 5 or 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he forgot them. And then I was like cleaning out and I like, it's funny too, because I forgot like something stupid, like a pair of shoes or something when we were fully moving out. Cause I was moving to Denver after I graduated college, and I go in and I could do one final clean sweep of the apartment as we're moving out. And I look in like a closet in like one of the back corners and I see like the box with the ashes in it.
And the box, it's not an urn.
It wasn't an urn. It was what the crematory put the ashes in. And that was just really frustrating to me too. Cause it was like, he was entrusted with the ashes for whatever reason. I don't know exactly why he was chosen to watch after them.
Is he the oldest?
He's the second oldest.
Okay.
And then he just left them. And I was like, well, what the f***? Like, these are, okay, this is obviously something, sorry for the curse.
It's okay.
This is obviously something that you never should have been responsible for in the first place, if that's like the way that you would kind of like go about that, I guess. So then I just kind of took it upon myself to be like, all right, like these are mine now. Whenever anyone asks me for them and they're like, they're like, hey, can I hold on to them? I'm like, no, you can't hold on to anything. I'm holding on to them now. You guys are all idiots. And then so we went to Hawaii, did all that stuff.
You paid for everything.
Everything.
Flight, hotel, meals.
Flight, hotel, meals. Probably like, I would say like 75% of the meals.
Okay.
Rental car, activities, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that's not that, like, that's fine. But there was never like a moment where they were like, thank you for like doing this for us. I'm sure there were like small thank yous, but it was still, as just, you know, it's, I kind of almost hate myself for like being like, well, you guys didn't thank me for the trip, because that kind of makes me like sound a little bit conceited. But it was just like annoying that they didn't show any like grateful.
It is annoying, but some people do have a hard time with that. It's hard. Thanking people sincerely is difficult for some people, for whatever reason it is.
Yeah.
Maybe it's guilt that they didn't do this. They didn't think of this. They forgot the ashes. There might be guilt involved that prevents them from thanking.
Someone said that, I was talking to like my friend about this, and they're like, well, sometimes like maybe ego gets involved where your siblings are all older than you and they wanted to do this for you, but you were the one that did it for them. So they kind of felt slighted a little bit.
Yeah.
So other than that, like, again, that didn't take back from the trip. The trip was still beautiful. Like, Hawaii is an incredible place. We hiked up to this lighthouse on Christmas Day at sunrise, and was able to spread the ashes. There's a lot more ashes in there than I was expecting there to be.
Was there, a reason for that location? Had she been there?
She said when she was on the bed in the hospice, she's like, I want my ashes scattered, on a cliffside in Hawaii. So we were just like, this seems like a good cliff. My sister brought 4 packets of wildflower seeds. So we like mixed the wildflower seeds and the ashes and spread them. It was great. And then my sister left the next day. My brother left the next day. And then me and my other brother stayed for like 3 or 4 more days and just kind of hung out.
Was it emotional when you let them go? Was there tears?
My sister cried. It wasn't necessarily emotional for me or my brothers. It was just like, it was just nice that we could kind of like close that and not necessarily have to worry about it anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think all of the grieving that we've done has kind of already transpired. We're already kind of like, I don't say past it, because we're never going to be past it essentially, but it was more of just a matter of like, this was her dying wish, and we're like, we're finally grateful to be able to like be doing it.
Yeah.
So it was good.
There's a great book I recommend called Kids of Appetite, and part of it is this teenage boy, and he's trying to fulfill his dad's dying wishes that he found in the urn that was at his mom's house the whole time. He opened up the urn, and there was a note in there, and it was all these things he wanted done with his ashes. Put some here, put some here. And so that's kind of the book.
That's cool.
Him going, him and his new friends going place to place and scattering some ashes, and it made me think of that.
That's
when
really
you told
cool.
me that. Yeah, it is nice to get, like you said, the closure and doing that final thing for your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I guess to Eliza's point, sorry for not talking about it in a little bit more depth, but yeah, I don't know.
That's I find that very interesting.
I still, like, weirdly, it's been, what, 2.5 months since Christmas? Mm-hmm. Haven't talked to my siblings since.
Wow. Were you close growing up?
I think the age gap made it difficult for us all to be close. I was, like, a such a big dork. Like, I whenever my brothers brought their friends around, I embarrassed the crap out of them.
Mm. That's a youngest child.
Yeah.
Thing.
Oh,
I'm that way, too.
Yeah. My sister, I remember, like, when my sister's friends would call the house, because it's, like, a communal house
and
thing.
And you would get on the other phone line and listen?
No.
I've never done that either. I don't know what but you're talking about.
As a 12-year-old boy, Mark and Easton, I'm sure, oh, I hope at least you share this. Your voice comes across as very feminine when you answer the phone. And when my sister's friends were calling, they were expecting her to answer. And so I would answer, and they would be like, oh, my God, Sky, hi, how are you? And I'd be like, no, it's Dean. So I would start answering the phone like, hello, like in the deepest voice I could. And I just remember there was like small things like that. Like it was just, I was always kind of more of like an embarrassment for my siblings than I was like a friend.
I doubt they feel that way about you.
Well, now they don't at all.
Okay, good.
Now they don't at all. I'm just saying like those are
growing up.
Because then when my mother passed away when I was 15, like when I was finally starting to be like tolerable around their friends, yeah. is like that's when we like didn't really start hanging out anymore because like they didn't live anywhere nearby. Like so it's just, we're friends, but you know, there's just an age gap, I guess.
Yeah, and I guess my sister and I are like that. Like we talk a couple times a year. Like there's huge months and months and months will go by without chatting. So yeah. I guess that's
makes
natural.
Me sad.
How often do you talk to your siblings?
Like one of my sisters every single day.
See, I think sisters are different.
Because I have two sisters. I talk to one every single day. I talk to the other multiple times a week. I'm in a group text with my siblings that was blown up earlier today. But I'm 24. My brother is 30, and he's the oldest. I'm the youngest. We're all really close in age.
Oh, and you have one in the middle.
The ones in the middle are 27 and 29.
Oh, so you're the youngest of four, too.
Yep.
Twins.
But, like, your story is fascinating to me.
Everything
like,
about Dean is
fascinating. Yeah, like, I wouldn't handle everything the way you do.
I don't think that I handle it capably at all. But I don't...
Well, even, like, being willing to take in your brother when you were still in college, that's something that's, like, abnormal, and, like, you should praise yourself for that.
Well... It's funny, too, because I asked you when I was in New York last week, we were talking to like some interviewer, and he's like, what do you think about like your fans or something like that? And I was like, first of all, the word fan to me is so weird. Because people are fans of the people that go on the show because they can find something to relate to them about, you know? But when you're like living through those experiences, like when every moment, every like trial or tribulation that's happened to me in my life, I didn't look at it as something like this is like something that's changing me. It's just, it's another thing that you have to get through, you know?
Yeah.
And now like when you're 26 years old and you can look back and you can be like, those were kind of like the pivotal transformational moments, but you didn't really like, think of anything as about them while they were happening. And that's what people like find, I guess,
like,
appreciation.
That's what people are fans of you
it's
for.
It's just really weird. So like you, like you're saying, like you have a fascinating life. I don't really see my life as fascinating. I just saw it as me like getting through every
I'm a
moment.
Dean fan. That's what we've come to. No, I am though.
That's the point. It's like any, and you can ask anyone. I'm sure that's been through a lot. Like Eric Bigger grew up on the streets of Baltimore, and I'm sure like if he looks back, he's like, no, I was just like waking up in the morning,
right.
going to bed at night, and I wasn't really sure what I was doing.
Right.
I was
for just, you, like, it's just through. Life.
Exactly.
But to us, it's fascinating because there's so many stories.
And the fact that it's fascinating just blows my mind because no one's ever thought it was fascinating before. Mm-hmm. But then you put on this platform with.
But I'd like to say,
watch.
Even if you had never been on The Bachelorette. I think we'd still find your story fascinating if we sat down and talked. Like,
yeah.
I'd still be like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
All of these things.
Yeah, I suppose. I wouldn't ever talk about it, though, is the thing.
Yeah.
Well.
Here we are.
Can I just say one thing real quick, totally off topic?
Yeah.
This sounds so crazy. I had a dream the other night.
About?
And they're, like, teasing up this new, there's this new couple coming from Bachelor Nation.
Wait, this was a dream.
And into the studio walks Dean and Rachel Lindsay back together.
Oh, wow.
And like, I literally woke up and almost texted you to be like, wait, are you back with Rachel? And then I had to process the fact that she is totally still fully engaged. You are hypothetically maybe going to be in a relationship soon. Like, it was so real. Do you ever talk to her?
No.
Oh, so I don't know where this came from.
That's hilarious.
I had to put it out there.
That's hilarious. Dreams are very, I mean, I wish we could have a podcast just dedicated to dreams because I have the most insane dreams.
Oh, we should do it.
Well, let's book
dreams.
A dream expert because that's easy. We can get a dream
Heck
expert.
Heck yes, let's book a dream expert.
All right.
But cool. It's not even like I don't even like have dreams where I'm like, oh, I kind of remember some things. I remember like the weirdest dreams ever. And I don't know why. Like, do you have a lot of weird dreams?
Oh, I have like full relationships and dreams. Mm-hmm. It's weird stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get a dream expert.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so that'll do it for episode X of Help I Suck at Dating.
17.
17.
17.
Wow.
Big thank you to Jeannie Osimos from eHarmony.com. Their happiness index comes out on Thursday. Be sure to check it out. You can check it out on eHarmony.com/advice. We love your emails. Keep emailing them in. Honestly, the first half of this podcast, typically, you know, I'm just looking forward to this part of it or the email part of it. So keep them coming. I really want to reincorporate phone calls back into the podcast.
I want to do an Ask Dean Anything segment, but we can't do that until Winter Games airs because then people can actually ask you anything.
Can we actually circle back real quick to the dating do's and don'ts with Dean Ungler? I love that
title.
It's a lot. It's a mouthful, but it's almost so long to the point that it becomes gimmicky to like be acceptable, you know?
It sounds like a college course or something.
Dating do's
like
and
it.
Don'ts with Dean.
But maybe this is Dean's college course for everyone.
I think it's just dating Dean, like forgetting Sarah Marshall, dating Dean Ungler. You don't hate it?
I don't hate him.
He
sorry.
Hates it. He
He's
hates
very
it.
Mad.
What about
right now?
Dating deans and don'ts? That incorporates both of them.
That doesn't even make sense.
Dating Dean for Mark.
Yeah.
Dating deans and don'ts.
No, we're not.
We're not making up words.
No, we're not compromising. We'll find a title that you like.
By the way, yeah, okay. Anyways, we'll be back next week, potentially. thank you again for listening to episode 17 of Help I Suck at Dating. We'll be back next week for the show. Still called Help I Suck at Dating. But next week yields a new possibility for a greater future for all of us. So be sure to tune in next week because maybe I'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.